Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here in the studio, I have the SAIL contingency. Always welcome, SAIL students. Joining me here, I have Kamaria Brantley. Kamaria is in the 10th grade, and music is her thing.
Hi.
Glad to have you. Jude Countryman, always glad to hear his opinions. He is in the 11th grade. His things are student government and video clubs.
Hello.
And Madeline Christian, 10th grade, politics, history, and foreign language.
How are you guys doing?
Well, I welcome all of you to 411 Teen. The death penalty continues to be a controversial topic. Questions have arisen concerning the arbitrary component exercised in sentencing, cost, deterrent effectiveness, innocence of some, mental illness, mental retardation, women, juveniles. In the 1990s, most states joined a movement to crack down on juvenile crime, making it easier to punish teens as adults. Traditionally, for teens in the juvenile justice system, the emphasis has been on treatment and education. Under the adult system, the emphasis is more on punishment than rehabilitation. The debate continues over capital punishment in the United States. This hour, we're going to look at it. What are your positions? Where do you stand? And we'll start out by, what are your feelings about the death penalty? And Jude, you're in the hot seat, so we'll start with you and just move on around the table.
Well, I think it's kind of hard because I understand why someone would want capital punishment, but I was thinking about it, and I don't think it's really that effective. And it's kind of costly, and sometimes it isn't humane, sometimes it doesn't look the way it's planned and ends up making people suffer, and that's not the point of the death penalty.
Wow, Jude, you've anticipated all my questions. You've covered so many things, but you're right. And we're going to further look at all those different aspects that you brought up. Kamaria, where do you sit on the death penalty?
I agree with Jude. I do think that the death penalty is extreme, and it's kind of like a final say. Like, there's no coming back from death, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, it is a touchy subject because there are a lot of cases where people would say, like, they deserve death, but it's not really our say to tell someone if they deserve life or death. And if the point is to punish them, killing them isn't a punishment. That's just the extreme. After that, they're gone, and they aren't punished for what they did. They just can't, you know, live anymore. So I do think death penalty isn't a good punishment for people.
Okay. All right. And again, we'll come back and explore all this. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I agree with Jude and Kamaria that it is a difficult issue, and actually, all of today, I've been thinking about, you know, about how I might respond to what I think about it, because at the same time, I can relate to victims' families and them, like, being angry and wanting justice, but I also agree with, you know, we sometimes make mistakes in who we, you know, sentence, and ultimately, I'd say I'm against it just because we execute some wrong people.
And
for every, even if we're getting, like, 100 bad guys for every one innocent person, I still don't think it's worth it.
Okay. Well, I wanted to address something that you said, Jude, and then we'll start to explore all of those different variables. The death penalty in the United States dates back to colonial times when the European settlers brought capital punishment to the New World. For centuries, hanging was the most common method, okay? And then by the 1960s or so, we went to the chamber, the gas chamber. You know, just for a little historical perspective on what we're talking about. So I thought that I would share that with you because you brought that up. Then we had electrocution, okay? And we're going to talk about the various methods. But as we explore this death penalty, do you feel that there are any circumstances or crimes which warrant the death penalty, which we should consider an exception? And I mean, I want you to really think about, are there crimes that should be? And if there are, what are they? And why do you think that maybe we might want to take exception to some of this and saying crossing out, you know, we won't have the death penalty at all? And I'll just throw it out there, and whoever wants to, you know, jump in first, you're welcome, and I guess I'm looking at you, so.
In some extreme circumstances, mm-hmm. I would say the only thing that comes to mind right now is, like, mass murderers. Like, maybe they've been to jail for, like, killing one person, they got out somehow, okay. And they killed again, they were caught, killed again, caught.
Okay.
And I guess in that situation, it's clearly not working. The punishment, they're clearly not taking it seriously. So, no, it's not a laughing matter, but.
But, you know, you raise another issue that we need to come back and talk about, because one of the comments and one of the comments or positions that has taken with opposition is just the punishment. That's a whole big area of, is it really punishment? Okay, so we need to look at that. But I'll get back to, you know, the original question of asking if there are circumstances or crimes that you feel should be the exception and maybe we should entertain the death penalty. I'm looking at you, Jude, so I guess it's your turn.
thinking about it, I would only use it in the most, like, extreme circumstances, like, there's people that have done repeated awful things that are, like, a danger to everyone around them.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you all, when we talk about these repeated, what are we talking about? Are we repeat? And I haven't forgotten you, Kamaria. I just want you to be thinking about this. When we talk about repeated crimes, what kind of repeated crimes? Okay, you know, repeated murders. But what about repeated rapists? What about repeated child abuse? I mean, how do we draw the line? Okay, do we draw a line? But Kamaria, where do you sit? Do you think that there are any crimes or circumstances that should be exceptions to, you know, this opposition to the death penalty?
Excuse me. I do think if it is, like, a repeated thing and it is, like, the extreme of death or, like, rape or something like that, I do think then we should, I think it should be considered then, because I feel like there are people in the world who just no matter what will be bad, and no matter what you do, I like to always think that there are two sides to every story, so mm-hmm. you never know. So no matter how bad the crime is, you never know what the truth is behind it. So the death penalty has always been extreme to me because of that. But, mm-hmm. you know, I know there are some people who are just bad people who will keep doing a bad thing no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I think in those cases, the death penalty should be considered. But even then, I think it's still a very harsh punishment to have on someone.
So I think I've already anticipated this response, but I'm going to present this question anyway. Because the broader debate really is about ethics and the usefulness of capital punishment. I mean, that's we can look at it from that way. Should the government, and I put people to death? That's kind of what we're saying, right?
I would not. I don't think we should be putting people to death because it the money to write the all those camera holes and option. It's not like the people that have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I'm to see someone die and the job is to do that over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say, death, the punishment is that you are in jail. If you kill someone, then it's not really making them survive the sentence, you know?
That makes sense. How do you feel, Madeline?
I mean, I feel it's maybe a bit hypocritical for the government to say you can't kill people, it's against the law, and then go turn around and kill people, but just like, oh, we're just going to inject you in this, and, you know, it just kind of look like you're falling asleep. And then it's kind of like, I've heard this before where it's like an eye for an eye, but you don't rape, if you've been raped by someone, you don't rape them back or something, that kind of
thing. Right, right.
And if the government is going to do capital punishment, I mean, I've said this before in Jude and Kamaria, I was talking about this morning, but, like, don't act as if you're killing someone, so at least just get it over with. Like, don't, like, 25 years, don't, like, just, like, and I don't agree with injecting them, just
Squad. Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying, because we certainly know that there have been a lot of difficulties using, you know, these drug cocktails.
Yes.
And there's a lot of opposition. I'm going to get to you, Jude. We're going to take a break. But there's a lot of opposition to that. I mean, physicians are having problems with it. And we know it's not effective. There have been the last couple of times it's been used, people have suffered. You're tuned into 411 Teen, and we are talking about the death penalty, looking at those who oppose it, those who support it, what crimes warrant it, if any. We're going to take a break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this hour we are examining the death penalty. I have students from Sale High School, the Sale Contingency. I again welcome Kamaria Brantley, Jude Countryman, and Madeline Christian. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and we again have been looking at the death penalty. When we went on break, I had to stop, and I wasn't able to get your response, Kamaria, about just the whole ethics and the usefulness. And I'd like to hear you respond to how you feel about the ethics and the usefulness of capital punishment. Should the government really be putting people to death? What do you think?
I have to agree with Maddie, and I don't think that it should be a punishment. Like she said, if someone kills, it's not right for you to say, okay, well, you did this bad thing as killing, and we're going to kill you as a punishment. And as Jude said before, like, they don't get to, that's not a worthy punishment for if someone had killed. They don't get to live their life knowing that they did this bad thing and now being in, like, having a punishment for that because they are dead now, you know? Like, so I don't agree with it.
So you don't see, well, and you don't see that as a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but it sounds like, and this applies to all of you, it sounds like that maybe the putting someone to death is not a punishment. They aren't feeling it, is what I hear you saying. You know, that, okay, they're out, they're gone. So although those who oppose you, some of the individuals who have lost family members, who have been victims themselves, say they are definitely for the death penalty. I'm just, you know, taking their position, and that there are some crimes that they feel like one cannot be rehabilitated. And therefore, and the recidivism rate indicates that these people continue to commit these crimes. So they are a danger to society. How do we address them? Do we lock them up and throw away the key? What do we do? I mean, how do we handle it? And I guess I'm just throwing that, you know, taking the opposition side, just presenting that perspective. And have you respond to that? Have any of you, as I say this, I'm thinking, have any of you or any of your family members or your friends been victims of real heinous type crimes? Have had been in situations that were life-threatening? Have you walked in these other folks' shoes? And I'm just throwing it out there for you to think about. You know what I mean? Okay. So what do you think? Go ahead, Madeline. Fine.
I feel we should, if someone's committed heinous crimes and they keep doing it, we should just lock them up just for the rest of their lives. Because I believe, now, I don't remember exactly what website this came from, but I believe it cost $91,000 more to American taxpayers to put an inmate to death than just, like, you know, like, pay for their time in prison for the rest of their lives. And this goes back to when you're saying, have you known anybody who's been a victim of some type of crime? Well, my mom and my grandmother have been victims of sexual assault as children.
Okay.
And, you know, very young, under 10. Uh-huh. And they talk about it now, at least my mom does. And how my mom addresses it, she's very, definitely not like understanding or forgiving, uh-huh. but she doesn't hate that person. She's not like, oh, I hope he burns in hell for what he's done. She's just very, he was ill. There was something wrong with him. And he went to prison, but hopefully he got the help he needed. I guess that's kind of influenced my position on the death penalty as well.
All right. Go ahead.
I like a girl, you got all you should say. Lock them away because if even if they are rehabilitated, I don't think you can just say, I'm fine now, and you should forget about what I did. So I, have any experience personally with that kind of violent crime.
Okay. So, all right. Shamari.
Yeah. I'd have to agree with Maddie and Jude. And, you know, I do. Can you repeat the question?
There are people that oppose that. Okay. And I'm just one. And they say that these people cannot be rehabilitated. Mm. This has happened. They need to pay, and they need to be executed. Okay, I'm a victim. I've had this happen directly to me. This happened to my family member. Okay, and so they oppose it. They feel that yes, we should have the, you know, are supportive, whichever. They oppose what you all are saying is what I'm trying to say, and they support the death penalty on those grounds that this was a heinous crime. Look what has happened. These people need to be put to death. They cannot be rehabilitated.
I feel like, as I said before, it still is a very extreme crime. And as Maddie was saying, like, the person most likely, if they did something as bad as killing or raping, let's say, and they did it like a repeated number of times, most likely they're sick at that point. And so instead of just, you know, they should be killed immediately for what they've done, maybe get them the help they need or something. And life in prison, you know, is always an option because, you know, death is a final, there's nothing, no coming back from that. And I feel like even after that, people aren't going to feel closure immediately if they die. They know, then everything they had, every problem just goes away after that. They're still going to feel what they felt before when they were alive.
Okay, I'll get Jude and then I'll come to you because he had, okay.
I feel like a criminal justice system is a lot about punishing people, and sometimes that's appropriate for really bad crimes, but I think it should be more focused on rehabilitation.
Okay.
And even if you can't be set free ever again, to be rehabilitated should still be the door, you know?
Okay. Yes, I know you had something more to share.
Another reason why I feel we should just keep them in prison, like Jude and Kamari were talking about how they can think about what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And people who commit violent and sexual crimes, they typically know their victims and like the parents, friends, mm-hmm. kids.
Right.
So when, right. you know, they come to terms with what they've done, and then they've got to sit in prison and think about, oh my God, I killed this person who I knew, or I sexually assaulted this person who I knew, and you just got to live with that, and it's too bad.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Did you have something else? Okay, let me ask you this. What role, and we're looking at the sentencing process now, what role does or should environment or the milieu play in sentencing? Meaning, let's say you have this individual and he or she was a victim themselves of abuse, you know, whatever kind of abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, they were a victim of abuse, or they were a victim of violence, okay? Do you think that those variables should be considered in their sentencing? What do you think?
I think it should mean they get off free. However, I think when you think about the crime, you also have to take into circumstances and then think, is this completely this person's fault? Because yes, they chose to act on something, but like if they didn't have this bad experience, they would have never acted on it at all.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like I can find a tiny bit of sympathy there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I hear. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Did you? Whomever. Both of you.
Okay.
Come on. Okay.
So, what was the question?
Well, I said, should we consider one's background? Should we consider what they have experienced up to this point? Were they abused? You know, was there dysfunction in the family? What role, what influence does that have?
I feel it should have some in their sentencing. Maybe they're considered a candidate for, you know, rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I feel they should be relieved of all that they've done.
Okay.
Because, I mean, plenty of people have had tough backgrounds and they mm-hmm. don't go around raping and killing mm-hmm. people and all that.
So what I hear you saying is there's got to be some accountability
yeah.
for your behavior.
Yeah.
Kamari.
Yeah, I think it should be, you know, it should be a factor in their punishment, but I feel like it's a stereotype, bringing you back to the Parkland shooting, that like school shooters, for example, well, they were, I know with at least the Parkland shooter, he was bullied and everyone mm-hmm. was talking about that and they
mm-hmm.
were like, well, you know, this is why they did it, or they like to blame it on the shooter's parents or something like that. When, yes, that is a factor in it, but they should have gotten help when they were little. And, you know, if that wasn't the case, then they should get help now, but at the same time, they still did this bad thing, and they should still be punished for that. And so if that means life in prison, then life in prison. But while you're there, we can work on getting you the help so that you see the wrong thing you did and that
mm-hmm.
you know that, you know, you can't do it again, let's say, that you get out. And so I think it should be a factor, and it should be considered,
mm-hmm.
But it shouldn't be like, oh, well, you were abused as a child. Will you get an easier sentence now? Because I feel like that happens a lot in these type of cases.
Okay. All right. When you think about yourselves and your positions on the death penalty, what has influenced your opinion? I mean, has it been religion? Has it been family? I mean, when you just think about how you have come to what you believe the death penalty is about, how'd you get there?
I politically say I know for me it probably has to do with something that I am afraid. And for me death is death and there's nothing after that. So it's a pretty good incentive to not do something bad. So, and also, being punished, dying, when you die, nothing happens. You don't feel any pain for what you've done. So, I would say that the death penalty is effective because of that.
Okay. Other comments? Mary.
I have to say, my views are probably, because I am religious, and, you know, my mom is also, and so she's always told me, you know, like, well, I was raised to believe that there's a heaven and there's a hell, obviously, and if you're good and you know, a good Christian, you'll go to heaven, not, you'll go to hell type thing. And I feel like with the death penalty, if you just kill them off, they have no chance of, you know, getting up to, let's say, going to heaven or whatever, you know? And my mom has always told me that, like, death is final, you know, there's no coming back from that. Like, but whatever happens after, you know, whatever is after death, if you believe in that, you know, we're not the ones to, you know, push you to go there, I guess, per se. I guess my mom is my biggest influence on what I believe about that.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Yes,
like Amaria, my mom's a pretty big influence. Like I said, she went through something, but she's come out of it. Overall, like, she's happy now. She has a boyfriend. She has me. She has a good job. And, you know, she's taught me. She's a very lovely person. She's very kind, at least in my view. And it's just, she forgave him, and again, and then 2 years ago, I started reading articles about how they made this new, like, serum for that was injected, and prisoners would, like, have heart attacks, or they would start foaming at the mouth, or having seizures, like, when it was injected, and it would be botched, and also it had to do with the cost, and again, innocent people dying as well,
And you raised some good points. And I mean, the one that we haven't really, there's not too much to say about it, but we haven't really identified is it's also very difficult to find someone to administer the drugs now, too. First, there's a problem with the drugs and the efficacy of the drugs. You know, many of them, you know, it seems like something happens, they're botched, the individual goes through excruciating pain, they've seen steam coming out of people's ears and nose and whatever. That's been reported on some of the, you know, the executions. And physicians do not want to administer the drugs, because that is in direct opposition to the Hippocratic Oath. Okay? So they're like, well, this is not, we're not going to do this. So you have some really serious, well-grounded, opposition to it. Okay? And what we haven't even talked about, there's a couple other things that we haven't talked about. And, of course, we've got a few more minutes. But another thing, look at what's happening in California, okay? The governor is saying that he will sign so that there is no more death penalty. They will not be putting any more folks to death, okay? Now, there's some opposition to that, so I don't want it to seem like, what's his name? Newsom, that's right. And there are people who are opposing him. There's no doubt about that. But that's something to think about. That's what's happening, you know, just as we speak. That's what's going on now nationally. We haven't put anybody to death, and it's been a long time. And since 1976, what is it, more than 1,400 people have been executed. But when you really look at it, it hasn't been that many recently. And I've got the stats here, and we'll go. You wanted to say something, Duke?
No one wants to be the executioner until putting someone to death is very, very hard, and it can dry out for years and years and years. And that can kind of make it painful for everyone involved.
Did you have a comment?
Yeah, I agree with what Jude was saying. And it is very hard to find, like, an executioner, someone who wants to do that. And so I feel like a lot of people who do agree with the death penalty, they're like, okay, so let's make it, you know, a serum that we inject or something like
that. Well, that's the problem. That's one of the problems.
Exactly.
We have that serum that we inject.
But yeah. I feel like instead of making it easier for someone to kill someone else, just getting rid of the problem in general and not having the death penalty solves the whole issue. We don't need anyone to execute anyone because no one's dying in that case.
Okay. Well, you tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are talking about the death penalty. Does Nicholas Cruz desire to die? That's what we'll explore when we come back. We're going to take a brief break, but we will return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? The question is, where do you sit when it comes to the death penalty? What about these individuals who have committed these heinous crimes? What do they deserve? Where should they go? Does Nicholas Cruz, 19, who killed 17 folks at the Marjorie Stoneman school, what does he deserve? Does he deserve to die or does he deserve to live? The debate continues, and we'll go from there. What do you think about Nicholas Cruz?
I would say it's very hard for me to say because it happened so close to, like, in Florida.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking. I think that you all should really, I don't know, but I would think I might really feel that. I mean, that's somebody my own age, my contemporary just about. He might be a couple of years older than you all, but that went in and shot up a school. And, you know, shot up 17 people, you know, that we're friends, and I don't know. And I know it's hard to imagine, but then again, you're closer to it than just about anybody else outside of those who attend that school.
Yeah. For me, I would want him to be put to death. I would want him to be put away for a long time, and I would want him to get help because someone that does that, they need a lot of help, and I don't think putting someone to death is gonna do that.
Okay.
I'd agree with Jude again. I don't think that he should be put to death because although he did end 17 people's lives, he's only 19, so he has a lot of life ahead of him. And although what he did was awful and, you know, it did hit really close to home living in Florida and attending high school in Florida, you know, he was obviously sick. And so he, you know, this thing happened to him. And so to retaliate, he was like, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this awful thing. He still is a 19-year-old kid who doesn't deserve death, but he needs help, not death. Mm-hmm. And it is very, like, because it's so close, it's hard for me to just, you know, it's a touchy subject, obviously.
Yeah.
But I do think that he should be put away for a long time. But while he's being put away, get the help he needs so that something like this doesn't happen again.
And you both raised some issues that we're going to come back and talk about. Yes, ma'am.
This shooting happened last year, I remember. It was Valentine's Day, and then the next day afterwards, like, people were just so quiet. And, you know, I vaguely remember Sandy Hook, and and this was the, like, the mass shooting that I really remember, and I was in high school. And I think this is one of the only times I'm going to say this, but I do think he deserves to die.
Okay, so you think he deserves to die.
Yeah,
okay.
It's just, like, I remember always seeing, like, the parents are so outspoken, and, like, the people who survived it are, and, like, how they talk about the people who died, and 14-year-olds, and people who are about to graduate. It just really affected me, and it was in Florida. So I have to admit, I really don't care what happens to him.
You feel strongly about that. You both, well, at different times, let me put it this way. All of you have raised the issue about punishment and rehabilitation. Okay, what is the benefit of punishment? I mean, do you see any benefit of punishment? Do you see people being punished? Because I tell you what they say. And, you know, I've had the opportunity over the years to visit various prisons. Okay, I went to Rayford and some of the prisons. And the question is, and some of the psychologists there will tell you, that anything you get on the outside, you can get in jail. So there's not any real punishment. I mean, yes, their mobility may be restricted, okay? Their interaction is restricted. I mean, they can do just about, and I know the jails don't want us saying this, but they can get anything that they want in jail. You know, if they want drugs, I mean, this is what is often said. You know, when you talk to those who work in prison, some of them have said, you know, you get whatever you want. You talk to ex-felons. And I have talked to ex-felons. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's better in jail. You get good. Health care? I hadn't thought about that. You get good health care. You know, when I came out, I was in better shape than I was when I went in. Okay? They get good health care, good dental care. You know, 3 squares and a cot. Okay, is what they say. They may not eat 3 meals a day. Okay? But they come in. I mean, that's just those are comments. Those are the real deal. So I guess I'm asking, you know, what is punishment? Do we really want to punish? And then on the other side, do we really rehabilitate? Because you talked about this earlier, about the recidivism rate, of how we will let people out, and they may be out, and then they return, okay? And, of course, it needs to be understood that there is going to be some recidivism. We're not going to have 100%, okay? I understand that. But I'm just throwing those out. I want you to kind of think about them and respond to them, and whoever wants to go first. Jude, you're always ready.
Well, our prison system is not the best.
Okay.
So I feel like it's not an always look, and there's always going to be corruption. I would say these are very dangerous individuals need to be, like, locked and monitored.
Okay.
And say, I don't think they should get any, like, special, like, thing, and, like, I don't think they should, like, feel comfy in prison, that they are to help and understand what it is that they have done. And I feel like if everyone just watched them and be like, no, you are going to understand what you did, at least those people would have, like, lower rates of coming back to jail.
Okay.
I agree. I think that a lot of people look at punishment as like a bias thing. So like, if you did this bad thing to me, I want you to have this equal type of thing to what you did to me to have to done to yourself. But punishment is supposed to be you learning from what you did wrong and realizing.
But do they learn? That's the question.
And that is...
I mean, you raised a good issue. Yes, you're supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to deter you. You're right. So that you won't do this again. Does it?
I feel like in the cases that it doesn't, that's when, like I said before, death penalty could be considered. And in very extreme cases, I do think the death penalty is probably the way to go. But, okay. You know, at least if they're in prison or whatever, they can be shown that what you did was wrong. And let's say that they don't understand that. It's not good to be in prison, obviously. Some people do come out and they're like, you know, it was better being there. You know, I got fed.
Excuse me for interrupting, mm-hmm. but the other part is some say they come out more sophisticated as far as engaging in various crimes than they did when they went in. They learn, but they're not learning rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. They're learning how to be a better criminal, so to speak. I don't know. That's, yeah. I mean, I'm just throwing those little pieces in there.
It is a really hard subject because, like, yeah, you're thinking, like, is. You know, going to prison, they'll be fixed, but then they come out, they're not fixed. Then what right. do we do, you know? Right. And it is a really difficult topic to cover is what happens afterwards, you know? Mm-hmm. I just think in the meantime, we should be doing everything we can to make sure or to try our best to for them to see what they did wrong. And if they need like mental help, get them that help. So then the least we can see is that the problem. Can we, you know, are they fixed now? I mean, obviously, you're never going to be completely fixed. But, you know, do they see
are
what they did
safe?
Wrong you now?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So I could with everything you get, like health care, you get meals, you get mm-hmm. a bed, you get dental stuff. Wouldn't surprise me that if homeless people purposely, you know, did something minor just to get them in jail mm-hmm. or in prison. Mm-hmm. I believe America has for-profit prisons
where
the more bodies you have in beds, the more money you make.
That's a good point.
Could be an influence and not maybe want to rehabilitate criminals. And I feel perhaps for criminals, like small-time criminals, you should make, like, perhaps schooling available, like college courses or some type of education available. So they didn't get that when they were younger. So they could start looking for, you know, after they got, like, jobs or opportunities. And,
And that's a good point. I'll go to you, Jude, and then I had something I wanted to say.
Yes,
yes, sir.
I was going to say that,
that's all right. It'll come back. When you're ready, it'll come right back. You know, another thing that I wanted to ask you about as far as the death penalty in prisons is there are certain populations in the prisons that are overrepresented, okay? I mean, for example, the African-American population, okay? They make up about 12% of the U.S. population, yet they might be about 40% of the prisoners. That's another thing. I mean, those are just some statistics that I'm throwing out there. And what about those individuals, because we don't have much time left, maybe about 6 minutes or so, but what about those individuals that we have found through DNA and, you know, when you have some law school maybe that takes them on as a project that really were not guilty, okay? What about those, and we're seeing that, you know, people are being exonerated. What about those individuals who have been in jail for prison, 25 years. And they found out because some, you know, group took them on as a project that they were not guilty. What type of restitution, if any, do you think the state owes them? We've taken 25 years of your life away. And the DNA, I mean, that's pretty absolute, okay? the DNA because somebody took the time and the energy and had the manpower to really investigate your particular case indicates now that you are and were not guilty. What do we owe them for taking that time? Do we owe them? And what?
I was gonna say, if you got people out of prison, then maybe you could focus more on people that really need help and focus on them and rehabilitate them. About what we owe people, obviously, if we could, I would have them give them 25 years, but that isn't possible. So, probably just money, because that's the best thing you can give them, because when you get out of prison, your life is kind of a mess, and some money really helps the people on their feet and being productive citizens.
Yeah, I have to agree with Jude because, like, I had a discussion about this with my siblings a while ago with the whole Me Too movement that was going on and has been going on. You know, like sexual assault, you know, and having, you know, a space for people who have been through sexual assault have, you know, can come out and say, like, this has happened. And with that whole movement, there have been a lot of allegations made against people that have been true and then a lot that haven't. And so, you know, with my siblings, they're like, so in that case, should it be the one who made that false accusation? Should they go to jail? And should they have to serve, like, the amount of time that the other person did or more? Because when you do go to prison, when you come out, it could ruin your life. It could ruin your life and you have nothing afterwards. And especially if you turn out to not be guilty, you just wasted, let's say, like 25 years in prison to come out to nothing.
And let me just say this. This is just a sidebar. And this was, 20 years ago. So I worked in the prison just for a while, working with women who were getting ready to be released. And the anxieties that they had to do actually with them being closed up. Like, how do I use a cell phone? Things that they were really anxious because they had been locked up and didn't know how they would acclimate to society because their world was so different. And that's something that we don't even think about. Sometimes there are courses and they get training and they get some preparation for leaving the prison. But that's another thing that we've done from people. I mean, we've taken them away from the real world, and they have themselves anxieties about just being released. And we do see, and I think you mentioned this, Madeline, sometimes individuals committing crimes to get back in. Because that's some place that they know and they're comfortable because they've been there. Yes, ma'am.
I don't know what else you could do besides give them money, obviously a lot of money, for taking away years of their life. I mean, I don't know what else you can really do.
I mean, I don't know. That's why I'm just posing that whole question to you all. What do you think? How do we address that? Because that seems to be coming a recurrent theme. You know, you see that happening just about all over. Some law school or some law class has taken on the efforts of a prisoner who has just said, no, I didn't do it. And they have fought and they have investigated and they have found out that this individual is indeed innocent. And he or she has been exonerated. Okay, what do you do? We're out of time, you know. And I had a whole lot of other comments that I was going to make as far as looking at. What about there's some positions that say we should not educate them. We should not give. They don't deserve to be educated. I don't know. Anyhow, that's it for this edition of 411 Teen. I want to extend my sincere appreciation for you all coming in and tackling this difficult topic. To my listening audience, I appreciate your time and your ear. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Teen archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.